This podcast is in association with In The Moment magazine, mindful ways to live your life well. On sale now in Waitrose, WH Smith and Sainsbury's. Today on Radio Gorgeous, I'm talking to a writer from Bristol, Jo Carnegie from In The Moment magazine. Hi Jo, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you for having me.
So today we're talking about the rise of invisible loneliness. Have you ever felt lonely?
Well, I have actually, Josephine, and it was a real shock for me because I always thought that loneliness was only really for old people or social misfits who had no friends. And I had a moment in a coffee shop a couple of months ago where I work from home. I'm a freelance journalist. I work from home. I live by myself and I'm single. And I went into a coffee shop to ask for my normal cup of coffee, and I just had this real shocking moment, a realisation that the guy that I spoke to behind the counter was the first human being I think I'd spoken to in 3 or 4 days. And I suddenly had this kind of realisation. I was like, I'm like an old person that has to go into shops to have that human interaction. How have I become this? And it was a really quite shocking, unsettling moment for me. And it was something that I thought about quite a lot ever since. And when I think, if I said to people, I'm actually quite lonely, people, even people that know me well, would be really quite shocked because
you're a lively extrovert.
I'm a lively extrovert. Mm. I'm an established journalist. I've written 9 books. I have a lovely family. My parents don't live near me now. I moved away from where I grew up, but I've got lots of friends. You know, I'm out and about a lot, and my life from the outside looks really busy and successful. But actually, on a day-to-day basis, I can get really quite lonely, and it's such a gradual thing that has happened that when the shocking moment came to me, I was quite lonely. It was really unexpected and quite unsettling.
Tell me how you felt when you were lonely, or how you feel when you're lonely.
The rise of this modern day invisible loneliness, like I said, that it's loneliness has always been associated with old people and people that maybe don't fit in or are not seen to fit in society. But actually, I think social media has a huge amount to do with it. I think that, you know, we all know by now that being online isn't a substitute for face-to-face interaction, but we still do it so much.
And we text all the
time. And we text.
So we don't have
yes.
to talk.
And I think that was the thing for me in the coffee shop. Because I've been WhatsApping and I've been tweeting, I've been on instant messaging, I'd had all these things going on, and that's actually how I actually probably communicate on a daily basis. And it's something that creeps up on you. You think, oh, rather than call them, I'll send them a text. Or rather than do that, I'll just send them an email. And before you know it, you are relying more and more and more actually on no face-to-face interaction, no picking up the phone, no meeting someone in the flesh. And that gradual erosion of human contact starts to eat away at you until you have that moment like I did, where I thought, actually, I really am quite lonely.
So tell me your feelings, though. What is the feeling of being lonely?
The feeling of being lonely is, for me, it's just that inner gnawing away that something's not quite right. And no matter how much I could go on social media or go on a walk around the city that I love living in, but I don't really know many people there because I've just moved there quite recently, it's just that feeling of like being by yourself and that inner emptiness that
cut off
and that inner emptiness that you, no matter how much time you spend online, you just can't quite fill up. And, you know, like I say, I'm quite happily single, but I think that even if you are in a family or in a relationship, you can still feel quite lonely, especially women, I think.
Yes. Well, I tell you when I felt loneliest was when my children were little and I lived in a place which was the country, and you had to drive everywhere, and, you know, and my husband was out, you know, the usual thing, husband out, and I thought, I'm going to look after the kids, and I was lucky I was in the position. But I felt really lonely.
Yeah, and I think actually one of the case studies for the piece that I wrote for In The Moment about the rise of modern day, this invisible loneliness, she said that she felt incredibly guilty for admitting that she was lonely because she was married to a lovely man. They had 3 boys and she had a full-time job. And she said people would actually laugh if I said I was lonely because I'm the busiest, most stressed person they know. But because, you know, basically she put her family before her the whole time. Life is busy and hectic. Mm-hmm. And in the end, she said, I don't actually know who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. And because I put everyone else before me. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really lonely and I feel actually really quite isolated a lot of the time because I just don't know who I am anymore. And I think as women especially, we are socialised from an early age to put people first, to be the people pleasers. So much so that we end up forgetting who we are. We forget what our needs are. And that, in turn, can end up making us feel incredibly lonely and disconnected from ourselves and what we really want in life. Obviously, if you're surrounded by people the whole time and you've got a family and you've got a nice house, like the case study in my piece did, and has a nice husband, and there's that guilt as well that makes it even worse. Why am I feeling like this? I'm always busy. I've always got stuff on. I have a house, I have a husband, I have children, I have a job. Why am I feeling lonely? And so this is increased kind of vicious circle that you get yourself into, because actually what you're actually doing is you're filling your life up with other people, other people's needs, rather than pushing yourself first.
So we all occasionally feel lonely. When is it a problem?
I think there's a really big distinction, and an important distinction, between being alone and being lonely. It's really good for us to be alone and enjoy our own company. You know, it builds up natural resilience. We can find out what we do and don't like in life. And it's time for us to switch off. I think in this society, especially, we're so geared towards always being on and out and being seen and showing up and stimulation the whole time. But sometimes we just need to put ourselves first, stay at home with a good book and not talk to anybody. So I think it's really important to recognise that being alone and choosing to be alone is really healthy and a natural thing, and it's an essential thing that we do, and most of us don't do it. Feeling lonely is completely different, because, like I say, you can feel lonely in a crowd of people. You can feel socially isolated. The difference between being alone and feeling lonely is you choose to be alone. When you're lonely, you feel like it's out of your control, that other people and life circumstances have made you feel lonely. When actually the reality is, it is down to you, and I realise that now. It's about being more proactive and putting yourself out there a bit more. You can't wait for the world to come to you. You have to go out there to a certain extent. Not kind of like, go, hi everyone, I'm Jo and I'm lonely, someone help. It's not about that.
People have run away.
Exactly. And because we're, because we're British culturally as well, there was a study a couple of years ago, and apparently the UK is now the loneliness capital of Europe. Oh. That because I think then there's a real cultural perception that British people don't like to talk about their feelings. There's this, still a stigma, I think, that increasingly it's getting less so, about admitting you're lonely, because like I say, I would not be seen as being traditionally a lonely person. But actually, a lot of us are feeling increasingly disconnected and increasingly isolated, and you just have to stick your hand up and say, hey, actually, I'm feeling like this. Does anyone else feel the same way too? And I think a lot of people would respond in the same way. Social media, still, we have this idea, we go online and we see other people's perceived perfect lives. It makes us feel even worse. And so actually, I think a large part of loneliness is the idea. And like I say, the idea of buying into this myth of perception, of perfection, sorry, that everyone's got this great, happy, full life and you haven't. When in reality, people on social media put good stuff. Also, they can put up a lot of stuff that doesn't actually portray their life accurately. And I think sometimes as well, it's really helpful. And I've realised this when I go on social media and I look at people's lives. Some of the times when I've posted in the past, or when you post in the past, why do you post sometimes? Because maybe you're feeling a bit lonely. Mm-hmm. You want some attention. You want a few likes, a few comments. So you put stuff up. So actually, rather than, you know, you having this amazingly full life, you might just put up a couple of pictures, because actually you're feeling lonely. So you want the attention. So it's worth looking at that next time you're on social media and feeling that.
If the people I know that use social media most actually are kind of, it's an awful thing to say, but kind of divorced women in their kind of 40s or 50s, you know, in fact, my friends, but they're on it so much more than other people, I've really noticed.
Yeah, I think it's a really useful tool for connecting still. Mm. And I think it's got a lot of benefits, definitely got a lot of benefits. Mm. But the problem is we've come to rely on it too much. Mm. Actually, one of my case studies in this actually started calling it a fake book. Mm-hmm. Because this fake perception of people's lives, that people's lives aren't what they portray online a lot of the time, but we still buy into it. A lot of the invisible loneliness that we feel now is this perceived projection that other people have better lives than us and they don't.
Yeah, because I was ill last year, and one of the things my husband said, he said, right, Josephine, just stop all the social media, because I've been lying in bed doing it. He said, really stop it. So about 3 months, I really didn't do anything. And I honestly thought the world would collapse if I stopped. Because you get so into thinking, if I don't do it, you know. And then I found now I'm literally, there are not apps on my phone anymore. You know what I mean? Okay, I've still got Twitter, just that's for work. But And I don't do it as I would tweet six times a day. Now I tweet once a day, you know.
Yeah.
And I find my life hasn't collapsed. My business hasn't collapsed. My social life hasn't collapsed, you know. And I think really people should wean themselves off, you know.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think that. I think that really, why do we go on social media? You know, apart from, like I say, to find out what other people are up to. And it can, there are lots of benefits.
Then there's jealousy,
there,
you know.
There is. And I mean, also, yeah, and the fact that we don't want to be alone with ourselves. And really, we have to address that. Why don't I want to be alone with myself? Why don't I like being alone with myself? And that might involve a bit of self-investigation with yourself, or with maybe a professional or some kind of coach, to kind of see the reasons actually why you don't like sitting and being alone with yourself, why you actually do feel lonely. And also, I think as well that it's that ability to sit with ourselves rather than be distracted and work out what's really going on with ourselves. But also, I think it's really interesting, actually, is the fact that we live our life online more than ever now, and we have never been more privileged or had more convenient lives as well. So, you know, we don't have to go out to cinema anymore. We can just watch Netflix. We don't have to go out and do grocery shopping anymore. We've got Ocado. You know, we can get our dinner delivered. We don't have to go leave the house now. So
it's all isolating, Jo.
It's the whole thing. So in one way, we've never lived, and we can afford, more of us than ever now, are living alone. We can choose, yeah, to live alone.
Yeah. Do you really live solo then? Do you live
I live solo,
and you can afford the rent.
I can afford, and so I'm lucky enough that I can afford the rent. So I think it's 7.7 million people now in the UK live alone, and the majority of those are women. So actually, as women as well, though, we are living in a time economically and socially we've never been have
no.
more advantages,
no.
never have more privilege, no. never, you know, we are living in a great time, but at the same time, our privilege now, because we never have to leave the house, everything can come to us, our privilege has made us isolated. And like I say, it's that gradual thing that you just stop doing things, because things can come to you now. You never have to leave the house. You stop going out. You stop having that human interaction. And it's a gradual daily erosion of that human contact until you have that kind of, like, I had that epiphany in the coffee shop where I realised I hadn't actually spoken to anybody for 4 days. And you can trick yourself by thinking you're staying connected by being online or WhatsApp or whatever. But nothing, it's not as good as the real thing. And we just need to bring that balance back. I'm not saying all social media must die, everyone gets off it. But it's about bringing the balance back, and we've gone too far, I think, the other way, because we are naturally social animals, human beings are. We need our downtime, we definitely need our downtime, we need to disconnect, but we also need to have that face-to-face human action. And I think we just fill up constantly online, it's never enough. So we feel like, in one way, we're never off, and so on one level we're quite exhausted, we're never off. But actually, we're never fundamentally fulfilling ourselves with proper human interaction, and it's just a vicious circle.
Okay, so what we need to work out, Jo, is how can we practically solve problems of loneliness?
I think it's also really important to recognise that feeling lonely and loneliness is a part of the human condition, and we are all going to feel lonely in our lives, you know, especially if you suffer a bereavement or you move house or you move jobs.
Yeah, you've moved to a new city.
Yeah, so I moved to a new city, and so there are only periods of readjustment and feeling lonely. But if it's like a long-term, daily, pervasive loneliness where nothing is really changing, that's when you need to address it. And I think it's really looking actually at how much time you do spend online and not buying into the whole online myth. But also coming back to yourself and thinking, actually, rather than beating yourself up, saying, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, why are you being so self-critical? Look at actually what's going on with you and why you can't feel the need to be alone with yourself. And like I say, that might be just you investigating it, or maybe getting a bit of professional help as well, because I think that long-term loneliness can you know, become quite harmful, and we can get into very negative thought patterns, and sometimes even CBT, something like that, can really help.
How can we busy our lives? How can we make ourselves practically less lonely on a day-to-day level?
Get out. Literally, just get out. Even, like, for me, I work from home. I'm going to start going to, like, a lunchtime yoga class or meditation class. I think, like, the psychologist who spoke in this very eloquently about this, Rona Clues, says sometimes the best thing to do is literally go and plonk yourself in front of other human beings. Even if you don't have to talk to them, even if it's a meditation class at lunchtime or something, just getting yourself out there really helps. And from that, who knows what connections can happen. You know, even if you don't want to go out, rather than just watching a Netflix movie by yourself, invite people around, make it a movie night at yours. You need to start bringing back some sense of community to all these activities that we're now doing by ourselves.
But then you're embarrassed to contact people because it means your diary's empty. You know what I mean? It's you've got to have so much courage to do that.
I think you do.
If you're feeling low, it's hard.
You know? It really is hard. I think there is a stigma around admitting you're lonely, but it is getting less because we're all feeling it. These huge amount of statistics now that, you know, that one in three people are feeling lonely, that the increase in loneliness in young adults from 18 to 24 has rocketed. And we're all in this together. It's not just us by ourselves feeling lonely, thinking, what's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with us. We've just become really disconnected from other people and from ourselves. And it's just a very human condition. And just stick your hand up and say, hey, guys, do you have to say I'm really lonely? Do you just fancy hanging out? Is a step in the right direction. We always have to portray this perfect, full, busy life. And life isn't like that. And we're human beings and we all have vulnerabilities, insecurities, and we all feel lonely from now and, you know, from time to time.
Yeah, because you must think sometimes, oh, my sister's really busy, she's got a family, she's in Bristol. Is it a bit much if I say, can I come round? Or, you know what I mean? I bet you're worried sometimes about invading her space.
Absolutely. When really, she's been at home with her, you know, with her child all day, and she would really like the human company. So I think it's this perceived projection of other people have really full, busy lives and we can't intrude on them.
Yeah, because people often say to me, oh, Josephine, I haven't contacted you because you're so busy, you know. Yeah. But actually, I would have loved to chat, you know. I find phone calls really good, you know.
And it's so many, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, I remember when I was a teenage girl and I lived to talk on the phone, and my teenage self now would be absolutely horrified at the irony that I have access to a phone 24/7. I never speak on it. Mm. It's just ridiculous. You know, but I think that actually this invisible loneliness, this daily loneliness that most of us live in now, whether we are single or in a family or really busy, because we spend so much more time online or not going out because we don't have to anymore. Everyone's feeling it, but no one's saying it. And I think it's just about time that more and more people start to say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, let's hang out, rather than thinking, oh, their life's much busier than mine is, I'm just going to sit here and be lonely. Everyone's feeling it, and we just need to start talking about it more.
Well, I'm really proud of you coming on and speaking in public about this, Jo.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
To read more about the issues we've talked about today, go to the January edition of In the Moment magazine, on sale now in Waitrose, WH Smith and Sainsbury's. This podcast was produced and edited by RadioGorgeous.com, podcast for women.